Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
With everything being canceled nowadays, it's nice to be reminded that hope is not canceled. Amen? I mean, what else can get canceled? I don't know. I mean, it seems everything. We should all be at the state fair this afternoon, right? But God is on the throne even when there's not a state fair, when school's not happening live, that God is still in charge. Amen? And so there is hope, and it is doing well, not canceled. So we are working our way through the book that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. It's called Thessalonians. And he wrote two letters. The first one is the one we're in. This is our third week now. And so we're using each of these chapters as our anchor for our discussion in the morning. So if you have your Bibles, great. You get them out. If not, we'll put 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 on the screen behind. And so I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of what's happening in this chapter. First of all, Paul's going to tell them why he left. If you recall, when last we were gathered, I gave you the background, is Paul had to get out of town because he had been there for a number of weeks, and they came to put the hurt on him, but he slipped out under the cloak of darkness, and the people that were left or were keeping him in the house, they were penalized, they were fined, had to pay some money as a penalty. But now Paul is in Rome, and he's writing back to the church at Thessalonica. And so he's telling them here in the first few verses why he left. So in verse number three, so when we could not stand any longer, we thought it best that we would leave ourselves in Athens. So we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled in these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we were going to be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. And so for this reason, when I could not stand it any longer, I set out to find out about your faith, and I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and other efforts might have been useless. But then here's the report that Timothy gave us, verse number 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought great news, good news about your faith and your love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us, that we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all of our distress and persecution, we're encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since we are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy? Reads just like a letter. Isn't this great? He's writing them. How can I thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that you have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now here's our text for this morning. Just three verses. I'm going to point out some pretty interesting things about hope here in this little prayer that Paul has. He says, now, verse 11, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make our love increase and flow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And may he strengthen our hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with his Holy One. Father, take this word this morning and help it to find a place to take root in our hearts and lives, that we might be encouraged with these beautiful things about hope. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, verse number 11, 12, and 13 is where we're going to spend our time this morning. First of all, there's just going to be three things I mention with these three verses. Number 11, verse 11. Now may the God and Father himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, clear the way for you to come. How many of you know that hope is not canceled because God always makes a way? He always makes a way. In Isaiah 43:19, it says, see, I am doing a new thing. This is the Lord. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way, not in this really easy place, but in a very difficult place, in the desert and streams in the wasteland. There's always a way. With Jesus, there's always a way. There's always a way. Well, I don't know. There's always a way with Jesus. And I thought, you know, I wonder where this all begins with God making a way where there seems to be no way. It goes all the way back to creation. There was nothing, and God said, let there be light. There was nothing, and God said, let there be the earth. There was nothing, and God formed you and me. There was nothing. Talk about making a way where there seems to be no way. A burning bush, a rod changing into a serpent, a river turned to blood, a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire. God makes a way. Crossing the Red Sea, manna sent to feed, water from a rock, the Jordan dividing into two, and the walls of Jericho falling. God always makes a way. Elijah fed by the ravens, a widow's son raised, axe heads floating, three men in a fiery furnace delivered. God always makes a way. Daniel delivered from the lion's den, Jonah from the mouth of the whale, water turned to wine. God always makes a way. Lepers cleansed, paralytics healed, withered hands restored, widow's son raised from the dead, demonics healed, storms calmed. God always makes a way. My favorite, walking on water. That just doesn't seem like this is going to work. Don't worry about it. Even science says, I don't think that's the right way to do it. Don't worry about it. God always makes a way. You can turn and look at your neighbor. Tell him, God always makes a way. No matter what you're going through, God always makes a way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So when you are tempted, he will also provide for you a way out. So when God says, I will make a way, it's not always with the connotation that you are going into something, you're wanting something and you're pressing into it. It could be also that you're in a really not so good situation, and God says, I'm going to make a way out of that situation for you. I don't like detours. I despise detours. I know the shortest route to just about everywhere in town. Why would I take the long way? In fact, when the church moved to this location, I had multiple ways to get here. I literally timed every way to get here so that I'm just that weird. I'm sorry. So I know which way is 12 minutes and which way is 13 minutes. I know that. No matter where I go, I want the shortest way. Unless you're one of these crazy people that like scenic tour drives, I want the shortest way. Coming to church this week, I believe it was on Wednesday, driving down MacArthur. There was a detour. Joey, where's Joey? There was a detour. MacArthur, right? There was a detour for you and me. There was a detour. And then no one ever goes, yay! Do they? I don't know. It's like, oh yes, an orange sign. Turn here, detour. The way you want to go is now not the way to go. Aren't you glad somebody knows the right way to go, though? They go, turn this way. Well, they know more. They may not even have lived in town as long as I have, but they know because they pre-planned the route. There's somebody that's thought this thing through before you arrived at that point. In your life, in my life, I'll speak first person, I hate detours. I was going this direction, probably 7 miles over the speed limit because that's where it's kind of fuzzy. No, I'm just kidding. I was going as fast as I can towards the destination, right? And then all of a sudden, boom. It wasn't a stop sign. It was just a change course. There's a way out. You can sit here all day if you want, but it's going to be quite a while before they repair the road. So you can turn here and keep going on your way if you'd like. This is how God deals with you and me. We have a plan, but the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord. So you're going to the direction that God told you to go, and then all of a sudden, in the eyes of your friends, your neighbor, whoever, anybody else says, oh, look, they're not pursuing that anymore. God says, well, I just put you on a detour. You're going to get there. Just relax. Have I not promised you? I don't go back on my word. If I told you, will it not come to pass? That's a rhetorical question, because the answer is, of course, duh. Whatever God says comes to pass. And anybody else that mocks you or ridicules you because this thing fell apart or that didn't work out, just tell them to take a really long walk on a short pier. Right? Just say, where do you get off on judging my life? I'm trying to find the Lord, follow the Lord as best I can. And I'm just on a detour. In fact, what's really interesting is that the detour, though you didn't know it at the beginning, was actually part of the plan. You didn't get to a place and God says, oh no. God says, no, we're going to get them to here and then we're going to move them over there. Because I can't get them to go there directly. I got to get them here first. Because you would have never gone there, but now all of a sudden you're there. I'm talking first, but I'm just totally reliving my own life in many, many ways. But see, it's not a failure. It's just a redirection. And God didn't change his mind. He just got you to point B so you could get to point C. That's hopeful, isn't it? Your life did not get canceled. Your plans didn't get canceled. God's just moving you through life, and he's helping you along the way. God always makes a way. Philippians 4:13, if you're unaware, says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You can do this, but not on your own. I can do all things through Christ. Before you knew Jesus, you might have been of the crowd, you know, persevere, just press on. You can do it. But you forgot the rest of the verse. I can do all things through Christ. Hope's not canceled. God always makes a way. Matthew 19:26, if you don't have this one underlined, it goes right there with Philippians 4. It's Jesus' words. He says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What's the words right there? That's the voice of the Lord through the angel, Gabriel, telling Mary, don't worry. She goes, how can I even be pregnant? I haven't even been with a man. He goes, don't worry. With God, all things are possible. Now, what I do want you to note about this verse in Isaiah and the idea that God's going to make a way for Paul to get back and so on and so forth, it says God makes the way. Look at Isaiah 43 again. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And the relevance of that to you and me is we are not going to connive. We're not going to finagle. These are my mom's words. I don't even know if they're real words. But she used to say I was conniving and finagling my way or whatever. You know, when you want to set it up and you want to cut the corner and you want to, you know, I'm going to make, and it's going to, no, listen, what you do is you trust in the Lord with all your heart and you trust not in your own understanding, but you just lean on the presence of the Lord. You know what? Then he will direct your path. And some of the footsteps, some of the places I've set my foot, I didn't anticipate setting them there. That's not where I would have done that. And given the choice between the direction that you would walk or the direction that God would have you walk, which would you choose? Please choose the latter. Please choose. I want the path that God has for me. Because in the end, it's far better than whatever you would have chosen. God makes a way. God always makes a way. Verse number 12 is our second point. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. I really have a hard time with this scripture. I wish it wasn't there. Because it says that I can actually love everybody. Hope is not canceled because God will help you love other people. You know that some people are just hard to love. I don't know if this is you or not. I'm just talking, you know. Some people are really, really hard to love. Difficult people to love. But the word here says that God can actually help you increase and overflow in love towards other people. There's this thing that you have and that I have. We don't talk about it very often. you put people there or you're in there and I'm in there or not in there. And I don't know where this phrase began. I didn't have time to track it all down, but it's something that rings true to you and to me. And that is, when someone is difficult in your life, you put them in a place that you don't like to go. And I'm going to tell you what that is here in a second. It's called the doghouse. Do you have a doghouse? You don't want to be in the doghouse. At least with my mom, you didn't want to be in the doghouse. Or as a kid, you didn't want to be in the doghouse. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, man, you're in trouble. What do they call it nowadays? Timeout, probably, right? Or something like that. They put you on the timeout bench. Okay. But we put people in the doghouse. We don't want to be in the doghouse. Man, I'm in the doghouse now, boy. I really stepped in and I was, and now, what does that mean? They're holding it against me. They don't like me. Or somehow I've got to do something to earn my way out of this. Well, last week, my dog, literally, I put him in a figurative doghouse. My dog, my little dog Zoe, which is not that little, a dog like this, got out of its cage. We kennel the dog in the cage when I'm not home. Got out of the cage, guilty. I must not have latched the latch. And the thing chewed a hole in my carpet in my living room. Yeah. And while she was at it, chewed up a plant too. So now I have dirt and plant and carpet shreds all over my living room, which, you know, I like things neat and organized, but I had to get this taken care of before my OCD wife came home.
Yeah.
So I cleaned it all up as best I could and immediately called Jim Clouser, texted Jim Clouser, Jim, you got to come over, bro. You got to fix this carpet for me. And he did. He obviously did. Jim's the best. And he's such a blessing. But anyway, this dog I put in the doghouse, literally and figuratively, after we had a stern talking to. Right? So Cheryl gets home, she observes what's happened, I told her what went on, and she goes, lets the dog out of the doghouse, out of the cage, and the dog is walking around, and I won't even look at the dog, I'm so upset. Yeah? Yeah? Anybody? I'm gonna withhold love from you. I'm gonna withhold love from you for a penalty. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to penalize you. I'm going to withhold my love because you, as a dog, are now, even though you're out of your kennel, you're still in the doghouse. Right? Do we not do this with people too? So I'm not even going to look at you. Cheryl says, no, you need to make up. I said, I'm not making up with that dog. That dog's lucky to be alive right now. That's what I think. So you just shut it. I'm going to deal with the dog later. Walk by. Cheryl says, you need to make up with that. I said, I'm not making up with that dog. I'm just not making up with that dog. I said, I'm going to go upstairs. I got to work. I was writing this sermon. I'm like, what? So I came downstairs and I got on my knees. I said, come here, Zoe. Come here, Zoe. I love you. And I hugged her and we rolled together on the floor. I mean, it took an hour for me to really come back to my senses, but oh man, I was so ticked. That's just a dog. We do that to people. You don't want to be in the doghouse, but we put other people in the doghouse because they said something to hurt your feelings, or they tore up your carpet, or they chewed up a plant, or they did something. They did something that irritated you, and now you're going to withhold your love as a way to penalize them. But that's not what we're supposed to do. Sorry. So I'm going to give you a few things on how to love difficult people. And I could preach an entire 10-part series on this. I'm going to rocket through them. I'm going to highlight a couple of them. But this is my best 10. 10 principles for loving difficult people. Did we make a slide of this? Oh, you're going to love this. Number one, believe the best. This is one of the 10 I'm going to sit on for a second. You got to believe the best. when something doesn't happen the way that you thought it would happen, it may be not because they're trying to screw with you or mess with you or get in your head or make you feel bad. They said they were going to be there at 9 o'clock and they're not there at 9 o'clock. They maybe didn't blow you off. Maybe they got in a car wreck. And how bad would you feel when you call them up and you try to put them in the doghouse and say, well, wait a second, I just this isn't a car wreck. Try believing the best about people. Not everybody's out to mess with you. You know what? You need an attitude adjustment once in a while. Everybody's not trying to do you harm. They got their own world and they got their own mess that they're dealing with. And you don't know what happened in their life for the last 3 days that put them in that position. So why don't you be a Christian? Why don't you be a Christian? I don't know. Just saying. Number two, pray for yourself. Number three, pray for them. Number four, remember the love is going to cover that problem, that sin in their life. But number five, let's stop here for a second. Don't run your mouth about them. What does that have to do with anything? Listen, strife stirs strife. And when you start running your mouth about how they hurt you and what they did to you and everything else, not only is that infecting you and picking the scab in your own heart, you're spewing on other people. You're putting that on other people. Stop it. Just keep it to yourself. If you got to talk to somebody about it, talk to the Lord about it. I mean, read the book of Psalms. It's not all happy-go-lucky in the book of Psalms. Sometimes David is saying, man, my life is really not good right now. You cannot believe what I'm going through right now. It's okay. You can complain to God, but don't complain to everybody else when somebody's done something to hurt your feelings. You're stirring up dissension. You're stirring up strife. And you're only agitating your own spirit. And everybody said amen. All right, how are we doing? Oh, good. Number six, bless them with your words. Number seven, help them if you can. And number eight, we're going to stop on this one because it's a hard one. Don't gloat when they've got problems. I like to gloat. If someone's hurt me and then something goes bad for them, I go in my heart, ha, ha, ha for you. I used to. Pre-redemption. I mean, part of me still, I mean, come on. Right? It's like, wait, you thought, you, and now look what happened to you. Ha, ha, ha for you. What kind of attitude is that in life? That's not right. That's not right, Eric. You shouldn't think like that, Eric. Be kind. Be nice. Your love, Eric, should be overflowing towards other people. And even if they've hurt you, when their life falls apart, you shouldn't delight in that. You shouldn't gloat in that. You shouldn't be happy over that. Because you know what you're doing? You're siding with the demons. You're siding with the enemy. You're siding with the demonic. And if the Lord were to come back in that moment, that's not the team I would want to be playing for. Right? So, number nine, treat other people the way that you want to be treated, of course. And then the biggie, the coup de grace, the creme de la creme, you gotta get over it. You got to get through it. You got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. Unforgiveness is an acid that eats its own container. If you hold that inside of you and you, man, you wake up in the morning and you start thinking about them, you bust out in a sweat thinking about them. And listen, just bless them. Just turn them over to the Lord. Lord, whatever you got to do, take care of them, Lord. Because I am not going to waste my life thinking about that stuff. I can't. Our devotion this morning was about this. Cheryl, my devotion this morning, come to think of it. That you just can't let your mind be eaten up by that. I mean, you've only got so many hours in a day. Don't let those people own space in your head. They don't pay rent.
That's right.
Yep. So you got to forgive them.
Yep.
Well, you don't know what they did to me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think we have a precedent there. You don't know how bad they hurt me. Listen, I don't have to know, but God knows. Well, they stole money from me. They stole so much money from me. They hurt my family. They did this thing to me. They did that thing to me. Listen, just turn that over to the Lord. You know what I discovered? This is really a revelation. And this is where I found some great freedom. When I released the Lord to take care of people like that, because he convicted me one day when I said, this is what I want to do to them. Then I made my list of what I want to do to them. And oh, it was awesomely bad. I'm just being transparent. I'm just telling you how I feel when these things happen. And the Lord said to me, this is what changed this is the turn that I had many years ago when he said, Eric, who do you think can devise a better plan, you or me, to take care of them? You do, Lord. You can do better. So get them really good, better than me. No, Eric, that's not right. Bless them, Eric, and I'll take care of them. So that person that cheated you, that person that hurt you, that person that left you, that person that did you nasty, you have to do this. Lord, I just release them to you. Listen, if I could just stand here all day and repeat this over and over and over for the next hour or two, I would. This is how important and vital this is for you having a strong, hope-filled life. Amen. Anger and revenge will suck hope right out of your life. You gotta say, God, I just turn them over to you. What they said, what they did, how they hurt me, Lord. Well, it was my mom, it was my dad, it was my cousin, it was my brother, it was my grandpa. I don't care who it is. You have to come to a place, if you're a Christian, I said, it's a big if. Now, if you're not a Christian, you can have your anger and you're going to have the consequences of that. But I'm saying if you follow Christ, if that's what you're here to do today, is to hear what Jesus would do, Jesus would say, just release them, just forgive them. And if you want to take it a step further, try this, and Lord, just bless them. Just bless them, Lord. Just trying to help. So that's verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for the people that you like. No, for everybody. Right? Even if they've chewed a hole in your carpet. Hope is not canceled because God always makes a way. Hope is not canceled because God will help you love others. And number 3, hope is not canceled because his holiness is your holiness. Verse 13, may he strengthen our hearts so that you will be what? Say blameless and holy. Wait a second. How in the world are we ever going to be blameless and holy? Blameless and holy in the presence of God the Father when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with his holy ones. Hope is not canceled because it's his holiness, not your holiness. To be blameless and holy I'm walking through life never to sin again is an impossibility. But I refer you back to number 1. Hope is not canceled when? Because God always makes a way. Wait a second. You're telling me that I can be righteous and that I can be holy. I'm saying in the natural, you can't be, but I told you in point number 1 that God always makes a way. For God to give you a command that you can't keep is foolishness, and God doesn't deal in the realm of foolishness. God only gives you commands that he also empowers you to keep. So how in the world can I live a holy and a blameless life? He just told me that's what I need to do, but you've just told me I can't, Eric. So how is that done? I refer you back to point number 1, which is nothing is impossible with God. He makes a road in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The way has been made. How is this possible? Colossians chapter 1, and we'll finish. Colossians chapter 1. Listen. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in who? Jesus. Okay? Verse 20. And through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How does that happen? How does he reconcile them? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once, at one time in your life, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has brought you back. He has reconciled. He has made you complete. He has made you whole. He has reconciled you. How? By Christ's physical body through death to present you, here it is, holy in his sight and without blemish and free from accusation. It's impossible without the cross. Without the blood of Jesus, you'll never stand holy and blameless. You can try, you can try, you can try. Live a good life. Do the best you can. But if you break one little portion of the law, you've broken it all. There is no way in humanity for you to be good enough to be in the presence of the Lord. But God has made a way where there seems to be no way. And that way is only Jesus and his blood. And verse 22, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present to you, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. That's what you call holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. Verse 23, let's not forget the big if you continue in your faith, established, firm, and don't move from the hope of the gospel. Hope's not canceled, ladies and gentlemen. Everything else is canceled, but the cross, nothing cancels the cross. Nothing can ever cancel the blood of Jesus Christ. Three beautiful things about hope. Number one, his holiness is your holiness. This is not about your holiness. It's about his blood making you holy. Walking in faith, believing that when God sees you, he sees you. You ever heard of rose-colored glasses? It's a euphemism that says you put these glasses on that are kind of rose colored and the whole world looks rosy. Like he's going through life with rose colored glasses on is a way to say that guy just seems to be a bit naive about how life really is. But I tell you, when I think about that phrase, I think about how God looks at you and me. He looks at you and me through bloodstained glasses. And he sees you not as you are, but who you are in Christ through the blood of Christ. Amen. Number two. God will help you love others. Yeah. So if you got somebody in the doghouse today, who let the dogs out? You did. You should. Let them out. Just let them out. Let God deal with them. Here's the test. I'll give you the test. This is the test I apply to myself. When I see this person in the grocery store at the other end of the aisle, and I'm at this end, I have that moment that I could turn around and go the other way and say, I just don't need peanut butter that bad. Or I just keep walking. Hey, I'm not letting them back. If some people are toxic, you just got to say, listen, I love you from over here, you know, but I'm not, I'm you're out of the doghouse with me. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day. And just, that's the test. That's how you know. So I'm not talking about some ethereal, you know, mental assent to the idea that, no, I'm talking about real Christianity where you just walk by and say, God bless you, have a great day. And number three, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Whether you're in something you're wanting to get out of, or whether you're headed towards something you don't think you'll ever get there because it's detour after detour after detour, trust me, God makes a way. And his way is the best way because his name is Yahweh. It's Yahweh. Amen? Stand with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 2. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how you loved me and you followed me through the wilderness. I don't know where you're at in your journey of following the Lord, We're all in a different place. This is something we all can do, and that is at least take one step in the right direction this morning. One step closer to the goal. I just fall down too often pursuing God. Listen, don't despise even the times that you fall. Because as you fall and you stand again, you at least decrease the distance to your goal by a body's length. Because you've fallen down, but gotten back up. So today you may be getting back up. Today you may find yourself on your face. Maybe you're going great, man. There's not a detour in sight. You're going 7 miles over the speed limit, and you're like, you're doing great. You're cruising. Hey, congratulations, but guess what? It's not if, it's when the flat tire comes, when you get pulled over, when the detour happens. So just trying to forewarn. And finally, love people. If Christians should be known for anything, it's because we're quick to forgive. I love you. It's all good. No problem. It's all good. No problem. How many times, Pastor? 7 times 70. How many times? 7 times 70. So maybe it's time to let somebody out of the doghouse today. That's it. Those are the three things we're dealing with where hope is concerned. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, first of all, those who need your holiness applied to their life. You want your life covered with the blood of Jesus so that God sees you through rose-colored glasses. You're coming to him this morning asking for his wholeness, his healing, his salvation. If that's you, just raise your hand, please. Thank you. Secondly, you've got somebody in the doghouse and you need to let them out. Raise your hand. Unashamed. You need to let them out. I want you to see in the spirit right now, you're just letting them out. You're just going unlocking that door and you're letting them run. Called forgiveness. And then finally, you're needing God to show you the way. Either the way into a circumstance or the way out of a circumstance, but you're needing direction. Raise your hand this morning. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Like a roadway in the wilderness, like streams in the desert, he always makes a way. So Lord, for these hands that have been raised today, from my heart, our hearts collectively lifted to you, we ask that you would give us strength, that you would cover us with your grace, give us a fresh start. We repent of our pettiness. We repent of our own unholy lifestyle. We repent of holding grudges and believing that our way is better than yours. And today we turn. We make a change of direction by 180 degrees. From now on, we're going to trust in your holiness. From now on, no more doghouse. And from now on, we're going to trust that your way, Yahweh, is the best way. Maybe you're here with somebody that you know this morning. You reach over and grab them by the hand, family or friend. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand, all of us, broken. All of us in need of help. All of us in need of forgiveness. We repent. We ask that you would let your grace saturate us like a spring rain today, that we wouldn't be so judgmental, that we'd be quicker to forgive, that we would trust you to show us the way. And so may the peace of God, the shalom of heaven, with no strife, no worry, may the peace of God, which is beyond your human understanding, may that peace guard your heart, guard your mind in this cancel culture that we live. And daily remind you that hope, the blessed hope, is not, nor can it ever be canceled, because our hope is in you. in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.